He's Evan Sent, trumpeted one newspaper headline as ex-Canary Efanikuku grabbed the winner in the Dons 2-1 victory at Norwich on this day in 95. It really makes nice reading to see Wimbledon seventh in the Premiership, said then manager Joe Kinnear. The ambition is to finish as high or higher than the sixth place we managed last season and to get into Europe. When we sold John Fashanu and John Scales, everyone had us down as relegation candidates. So it just shows you write us off at your cost, at your peril indeed. Writing AFC Wimbledon off at your peril is something that the football gods have been doing for quite some time. Fingers crossed we will be able to tweak their noses in once again this season. We are the Samuel Wombles and we're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go on.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to the Samuel Wombles Series 4 episode no one can quite remember. As you
Wow.
look at
Wow.
that. I was about to
Wow.
say
Mark, mate, thanks for taking the lead on this. I know I'm like a couple of minutes late, and I just wondered, has anyone worked out why we're recording such a short podcast at this particular time? Adam, is it to do with you, mate? Have you got some time this evening? You're all right?
I'm fine. I've got all the time in the world.
I've got
Yeah.
all the time in the world as well.
Mark, you got all the time in the world? Yeah, mate,
Certainly have.
it's good to see. So I'm just trying to work out. We've got this. We have to squeeze it in. We've got a start time. We've got to be sure.
People turn
Monfrey
up
Niall
late and therefore
Cooper.
miss their cue.
Monfrey Niall Cooper. I'm just thinking, you're like, you know, you're the saviour of football. What a fair game. You've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm assuming that we've got to cut this call short because you're on to like the, I don't know, the chair of the football regulator to get that sorted. So, no, what's going on, man? Because we can do this. What's happening? How can we help?
So basically, what I'm doing is I'm helping looking after your daughter, Matt, in her hour of need, her hour of importantness. So your daughter is turning and going to be knocking on my door in 40 minutes' time, and I have to help look after her. And that's what I'm doing. I'm being the responsible, good uncle
Oh,
that I
wow. In
am.
actual fact, that,
Needs,
can I just say,
hour
can I
of
just
need.
say, people, that is a complete lie because she's not going anywhere. She's at football training at the moment, so she's doing football training right now. So,
Dear listener,
My
does anyone
daughters have said,
who is
my
listening
daughter said
still?
that she's turning up at our door at 8 o'clock, according to your daughter. That's
No,
what's happening.
okay.
no.
Does anyone else wonder whether or not they have to listen to the trials and tribulations of the Cooper domestic
I don't
scenarios?
remember. I
No,
don't
this
remember
is
agreeing
part of it.
to
I don't remember
it.
at all. No.
Anyhow, we're doing this one short because Monfrey's got to watch The Traitors at 8 o'clock.
And the
That's
rest of us that
why.
have digital TV will be
That's
watching it
why
when
I
we've
know
finished.
that it's a apparently it's a family thing. They all do it together. I don't know. They eat popcorn or something. Anyhow, what did you go with, Mark? What was our
Good evening, Mr. Matthew Cooper.
good evening?
Nice to see you joining us this evening.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
went with Efanikuku, so you can either restart completely or we can just carry on.
No, let's carry on, my friend. Let's carry on. You've done a good job.
Tonight's stepping in just for a change because he actually managed to get here 3 minutes late. You would have heard the voices of Mr. Matthew Cooper. Good evening, Matthew.
Good evening.
And Mr. Niall Cooper. Good evening, Niall.
Good evening, Mark. I'm just loving this. This is like being part of EastEnders, hearing the kind of bickering that's going on. So
Love
this
it
is
indeed.
the
Hey,
Samuel Wombles.
if it was recorded, I literally said we can wait a couple of minutes. So, Matthew, I'm on your side.
Yeah, but we weren't going to wait a couple of minutes because Niall was going to cut us off from our prime. And
True.
Mr. Doctor, Head of Department, man with all the buttons, Adam Proctor, is obviously well up on the news because what the listener can't see is he's wearing a 200 years of train travel since 1825.
Correct.
So he's 201 years now. Congratulations.
So,
Obviously, train travel is very important for Adam to be able to ever get to a home game. And we actually have a home game on Saturday. Shock and indeed horror.
yeah,
But
I'm
more
actually quite looking
importantly,
forward to
hopefully
it.
not horror.
I'm quite
Well,
looking forward
hopefully
to
not
it,
horror, no.
weirdly.
I am definitely looking forward to it, actually. It's time you had a home game, as the slogan
is. That's true, yeah.
Most importantly, who is now in love with the Virtue Trophy?
Well, yeah, it's a good point, Mark, to be honest with you, because I think we talked about this, and we talk about it, and I say, I will go, if it goes to the final, I'll go. And I'm excited, and everyone goes, oh, we've got a ban, you know, we can't be getting involved in this sort of thing, it's rubbish. But when the game was on, I tell you, from minute three, because that's when we scored our first goal, we just got a WhatsApp group full of messages and what's going on and what's happening, and then we're two and then we're three, and then we're getting nervous because they've got a couple of goals back and we end up winning 4-2. We always beat West Ham 4-2 in a cup game. So I was kind of like curious about what people's actual thoughts on it are. Now, I personally don't like the BTs being involved in it. Absolutely awful. What I do like is the 40K that came with the win.
That's exactly it. I don't want the B teams involved at all, but I was glad that we got the cash. I was like, cash, brilliant. Let's keep the cash rolling in. Am I going to go to any of the games now that all the B teams are out? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But yeah, I don't agree with it, but I like the cash. Are all the B teams out? Mark, don't tell me they're not all out.
This is my point. B teams are all out. Oh, West Ham under-21 were the last B team.
Good.
My thinking on this is there are three groups. And I suspect between the four of us on the pod tonight, we fall into each of those three groups. Group number one is you're always going to go anyway because you want to support your team, follow your team anyway. There were 800
and
West Ham fans.
Which one of us falls into that group?
No.
Zero.
None of us. No.
However,
you
there
said
were...
one of us is going to fall into each of those groups. You failed on your very first hurdle.
Possibly.
Fail.
Thank you, no. Group two, we were interested anyway, and now that the B teams, plural, have been thrown out, have been justifiably dismissed from the competition, in this case, correctly on the field, in our case, by beating West Ham, then some people might think about going. And I suspect, from what you just said, Adam will be one of those. I'll be very surprised if Matt is not one of those, indeed.
Well, to be honest with you, Mark, it would still take an effort for me to get to, you know, either a quarterfinal or a semi-final game. If we got as far as the final, I would go.
Oh, so you really are a glory hanger, glory hunter then?
Oh, fucking right, mate. I'm not missing out on a. I'm not missing out on a trip to Wembley, and I'm going to be.
No, that's true. Like no one's going to Wembley.
I'm going to be brutally honest on that front. I know that the team need our support all the way through, but you know we'll see what happens. See who we get in the next round, and if it's a decent hour, I might knock along.
I need to obviously then add group three, which is the one that I fall into fair and square,
yeah.
Which is the no, we're not complete hypocrites group. Because way back, going probably two seasons back, when we discussed this at a great length, when we possibly even have actually recorded podcasts at the same time as these virtual...
Oh no, there's evidence. Going on.
The evidence says that I said, personally, that I would never go to a game, on principle. And this even actually ended up with a slightly interesting conversation with some club officials when I was fortunate enough to be invited as a guest to Wickham, where understandably they were talking about the Virtue Trophy game coming up and the fact that the funds will be useful if we were able to get through and West Ham were going to bring in a few. And there was over 2,000 there, which is a good attendance for midweek. But equally, I was trying to say very politely, I didn't want to go. And I wasn't going to go. And I wouldn't go, even if we got to the final. Now, people might be saying, oh my God, that's all chat. But no, I'm happy to be called lots of different things that I may or may not deserve to be called. But I won't really set myself up as a complete idiot to be called a hypocrite by then running along and jumping in to be able to go to a quarterfinal or a semi-final. I think some fans are two legs even, which is even more ludicrous.
No, I was going to say people might say we're all chat, but... which we are, okay, mostly all chat. But I do think we do have principles, and when we've decided on one, that is, we tend to stick to them.
Full credit to Mark for doing that. I think, Mark, you had one category, which would have been a catch-all one that you missed out on that, which was the Glory Hunter capture category, for which, you know, I'm going to probably be very much like Matt. If we get to Wembley, I will find it very difficult not to go. If we get a nice quarterfinal at home, maybe. maybe the semi, maybe if it's at home. That's kind of like, I will think about it.
Who's left?
Got to.
I mean, that's the thing. Who's left?
Well, Swindon until probably tomorrow, and then they'll
No,
be
the
kicked
Swindon
out.
thing is quite funny, actually, if anyone's followed this on social media. Swindon played Luton last night at Luton, and Swindon rotated their team, and Luton rotated their team and had eight different players, including James Shea, playing for them. And Swindon's top scorer is a striker called Drinan, and he was not named on the team sheet. And then at halftime, they brought him on. And then, with about an hour gone, yeah, exactly. With about an hour gone, Swindon scored, and Drinan set up the goal for whoever scored the goal. At which point, and don't ask me why it took that long, at that point, Luton noticed that actually what's going on here. This guy wasn't even listed in the team sheet. I've seen a little bit on social media on
What?
some
I didn't
local
even know
reporters in
this.
Bedfordshire. Apparently, there were two different team sheets. There was the official one, which the guy's not on, and then there was the other one. Why there are two different versions, no idea. But on the other one, he is on it. So they then ask, obviously, Holloway about it, and he says it's a big whoopsie. He literally uses the word whoopsie. And they asked Jack Wiltshire, as Luton manager, about it, and he said the FA will investigate. We know how well the FA
Oh, we
manage to
love the
investigate.
FA investigating stuff. They're our favourite
Absolutely.
investigators.
I mean, it's so. I mean, I found. I mean, there are certain things in football
Well, how
which
did
I
you even
just
know
find
this? This is awesome.
which are absolutely ridiculous. And I think this is, really, this is one. I mean, like, it's. They're not going to change. Luton aren't going to change their team. Based on that, and because the team isn't announced until like an hour before, so no one is changing anything. So it just feels ridiculous. It's kind of almost like, do you remember, was it Jermaine
Darlington.
Darlington and that whole thing there, when you get a real genuine mistake and you get severely punished for it. So unfortunately, and it's so absolutely ridiculous. Swindon will be booted out. And it's absolutely ridiculous because it's just a genuine mistake. And I find
Yeah,
these sort of
well, that
things.
would do.
Whereas a side like, let's get into your territory now, where a side like Man City can do all these do everything they've done, and we still don't know about the 117 charges that are levelled at their
Oh,
door.
and they've changed the rules about the League Cup as well. So
Yeah.
now in the League Cup, you can play for two clubs,
Oh yes, I
which
saw
obviously they
that.
knew. So Semenya played for them, having signed like 4 hours before and scored.
Yeah. So it's just all of this sort of stuff is ridiculous. So you punish those smaller clubs, and whereas it's not going to make a huge difference, and then the bigger clubs and those with the money are going to get away with it again. It's infuriating. But it's going to be because they're going to go, that's the rules.
Niall's got an opinion, I'm sure. I can feel him bubbling under.
Now, well, right. I am of the it's the rules, right? I hate to say it, but if you put a team sheet in, that's the official team sheet, right? Where the Jermaine Darlington one was caused because it was the international clearance that was the problem with that. And that was like, again, we played lots of games before somebody realized that, and that was a an absolute disaster. And I'd love to have Trevor Williams on at some point to talk about what happened with that.
Yeah, I think he'd be a bit embarrassed about it.
I
I
don't think
yeah, I
I
mean,
don't blame him.
no,
I don't blame
not
him. I think that's really annoying because
no. I
I don't
mean,
think that's anything to do with Trevor, really.
I would, on that sense, be totally like sympathetic to what happened with Trevor, right? Because I
Oh,
know how
absolutely.
devastated it was. Like, so totally get that. And I've no doubt that like what happened with Swindon is you don't make that mistake, right? You just don't. It's like, whatever. And I think you have to have.
But that's because if you look at it, if you look at the story, I think it's because Holloway's got a sheet that he's written down, and he's written it down and he's given it to someone. And that someone has not put that information into the iPad thing. That's what's happened. So I think
Then,
there is a genuine
if that's the case,
mistake. It's not like he's suddenly got at half time, oh, wait a minute, I better change it round and write this bit down on a scribble bit of paper.
Yeah, fair point. But to answer the question that was actually posed about 5 minutes ago, the draw will be held on Saturday. And at the moment, pending Luton or...
Yeah, let's just go with the reality.
The reality at the moment is the teams left, so the last eight are Plymouth, AFC Wimbledon, Port Vale, Doncaster Rovers, Huddersfield Town, Swindon, Stockport, and the final tie has been played tonight, last 16, which is Northampton against Walsall. And what is interesting for me, you've only got League Two teams, even if Walsall get through, that would be Walsall and Swindon. And then you've got in ourselves and in Port Vale and in Doncaster, and possibly even in Northampton, four teams in the lower part, mid to lower part of League One, who obviously could do with the cash, but probably, obviously, if you ask their priorities, they'll tell you they'd rather stay comfortably in League One. Or does winning any game breed confidence?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing to mention is that it's still regionalised until the semi-final. So at the moment, the sides that we could be playing would be Swindon,
Northampton or Walsall.
Yeah, so we're only going to the final if we get in. Basically, like, why would you go to the other games? Like, I'm going to Wembley. If we get to the final, cool, I'm going to that. But the other games, whatever, I don't care. They're not that exciting teams.
Just out of a bit of history, was it in 1983-84 that we actually got through to the final of this and lost to Grimsby 3-2?
Away, correct, yeah.
And I think that in those days, you actually were still deemed as the, just for Matt, on a trophy front, it used to be that if you won your region, so Southern or Northern, you got a cup. So we were the Southern Trophy, Seven, whatever this was called then, Football League Group Trophy or whatever, we won the Southern section. So I think we may even have got something for that. So Matt, we're actually two games away from getting a trophy.
So that's another tattoo.
I'm not sure if that's still well, in actual fact, we're one. No, because it's the quarterfinals. The semi-finals are not regionalised.
I thought the semi-finals were regionalised.
No, semi-finals are not regionalised.
Oh, so it's confusing. It's just
Adam, we play the Southern teams in a quarterfinal. If we get through that, everyone who's get through the semi-final can play one another.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just reading some information online about last year's competition, which says, yeah, everything remains regionalised until the semi-final stage.
Yeah. Is the semi-final still like a one-off game?
Good question.
I don't know either.
Why we don't just play the other teams and they get knocked out. It doesn't matter where they come from. So like this north-south divide is nonsense.
Well, I think the idea being that sides in our divisions, it's, you know, there's not a huge amount of money. There's not a huge amount and it's travel. It saves on that whole travel.
Yeah, I mean, like, how much money are we making from having 2,000 people at Plough Lane?
Yeah, but it costs
if we were having to travel to somewhere where there was, you know, and you have to pay, I think you have to pay a fee for hosting, and there's a minimum amount you have to help clubs who, when they come to an away game. Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's a complete lost leader. Well, it's not even a leader, is it? It's just a loss.
I'm liking it because I think Mark's doing some investigation. So, mate, is it?
I've done some investigation about the amount of money you can make by getting to the final.
What's that?
That's the most interesting thing.
So here's the thing.
How much cash?
This is based on last year's figure, so it may have gone up, but I doubt it. So 20,000 for participating. In the group stage, £10,000 per win and £5,000 per draw. Now, I know we got thrashed by Stevenage, so that obviously doesn't count as nothing. But we did then win two or win one draw.
Yeah, we must have won. We won two, I think.
So that's 20,000 there. Round 20, of 32, 000. Another 20,000. So that's 60,000 so far. Yeah. And then the round of 16, 40,000. So that's 100,000 so far. Obviously, some of that will go into player bonuses, understandably. You win the quarterfinals, you get another 50K.
150
done.
It appears that you get nothing. Based on this, you get nothing for the semi-final. Huh? You get 50K as runners-up and you get 100,000 if you win it. So there's some incorrect information or missing information there somewhere.
So we could get 250k at least if we win.
And obviously a share of gate receipts from sell out Wembley.
Well, it's not going to sell out, is it? But yes.
I mean, because wasn't one of the great things.
15,000-20,000 people there.
There was a recent game. I think it might have been between like Portsmouth and Bolton or something. I mean, like they're like sides who brought a lot of people there, and apparently there was more people watching that game live than watching the Super Bowl. That's a stat I remember. So more people watched the Virtue Trophy. What's the Virtue Trophy live than watch the Super Bowl live?
That is
as in like
bonkers.
People as in attendance at the game. But we did, Mark. Did you find out whether it's two-legged semifinal? I mean, we're jumping ahead here. Can I just say anything that tells me that? Yeah, and can I just say that this last however long it's been proves how much we don't care about the Virtue Trophy.
The only question I was going to pose to you guys is. We fielded a near as damn it's full strength team. We obviously had Joe McDonald in goal because he plays in the Cups. But the back four was Oggs, Bauer and Johnson. And Lewis played second half for Bauer. Midfield, Maycock and Smith, Simway, Seddon left. So they played 3-4-2-1 basically. And then Lett and King with the support of Johnson and Seddon behind him. Just roam. And so in King and Brown were both in that kind of roaming 10 role, which it is the kind of, so to speak, Luton formation that we started this whole season with. Obviously West Ham had a bunch of kids playing. So what I liked is the fact we were 3-0 up. What I didn't like is the fact that having been 3-0 up, the last 20 minutes didn't look so good at all.
It's because they had a bunch of kids who were really good at football.
I mean, we just lost our way again, and it's, you know, I think even JJ admitted it. He said, "Didn't he? Goals change matches," and that's what happened. I mean, they got back into it, and we started to drop back. But my understanding is that we dominated the game.
And Mr. Robert Jr. in King was man of the match.
Yep.
But
and he's only 18.
He's still really.
And so,
which is what we really need, right? We need, because we've talked about this before, is that we need to have our new star that we can flog, really, to be honest, in the way of world football, how football operates at the moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, get Enking on a big long contract and then, you know, see where he is in 2 years' time. Because as a side at the moment, we do need to have that spark, that interesting person who can change a game. What I'd be interested to know is how good is Enkang as a team player? You know, whereas, because my comparison into my head is with Marcus Brown, right? So Marcus Brown can change things, but is, you know, we've often questioned whether he's that kind of winning person. I don't know. Matt?
I know. I'm interested about Marcus Brown because I feel over the last few games and the way that he's acting around the club, it feels to me like he is becoming much more of a Wimbledon player and much more of a. He feels much more integrated now. I think his presence and his behaviour, his demeanour, I think he just feels like it's taken him some time, but it feels like he is a Wimbledon player. Now, that's different to suiting our style necessarily, but he's very much a Wimbledon player. He loves being with the club. I mean, I've read the program notes. He loves being with the club. He's very happy that we gave him a chance. And I think I see him smiling more and behaving, you know, in a way that he's bought into the club. Now, you're interested that you would compare him to Brown, whereas I think a lot of people compare him to a Sal in that way.
I was talking about current players, right? So obviously, I think you're right in the Asal scenario.
So that's the thing. Also, I know that he signed a contract, didn't he, in June, am I right, Mark? I think
we talked about this last week. Yeah, he signed a two-year deal, so he's got another 18 months.
But he is on a two-year deal, is he? Because I couldn't see anywhere that said... No, not Marcus. I mean...
Enkang.
He signed his first professional contract in July of 25. But it doesn't say anywhere how long that contract is. It doesn't say if it's a year or two or however long.
We had a policy that everybody signs a contract for a minimum of 2 years. So, and I can't recall the last time we had somebody in for 3 years or 4 years. You know,
I was going to say, I wouldn't have thought your first professional contract would only be 1 year. That would be a little...
Yeah, so I'd imagine it's a two-year contract.
And hopefully, like Oggs, a two-year with a one with a one-year add-on. So, so that would be cool. So, the truth with that is, if that is the case, then you'd be looking, you know, you'd be looking to sell, wouldn't you, in next Jan?
Well, I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I find interesting is that
if he's got a one-year extension, you'd be looking at. The summer 27.
But what is interesting for me is that he signed at the same time with Horan and Leach. And Leach made his debut last season in the Gretchen Trophy or whatever it was called, Bristol Street at the time, and hasn't done a lot since. Horan is on loan, but has stayed on loan, relatively low in a non-league, as is Leach. And as is always the way, it's been Nkeng who's made his leap forward, even though physically he's not as big, but clearly in terms of an attacking threat, he seems to be already, both in terms of getting crosses in, crossing stats from the West Ham game are great, and also just knuckling down as a team pro. What also I find fascinating is he had a couple of loans in non-league that didn't go so well, as did, referencing Niall's point from earlier on, Ayuba Sal. Ayuba Sal was someone that Robinson tried to get into non-league and get toughened up. And a lot of Ryman League teams took one look at him and thought he was far too small, far too weedy, and far too unsuitable for non-league. And they clearly got that one wrong, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, every now and again I check in on Ayuba Sal's, how he's doing. I think he's making a packet, isn't he, out there? But is... I'm not sure how his team are doing in the league. I don't think he's playing for one of the top sides. And we're talking about the Qatar League, aren't we? So he's not playing in Saudi Arabia. And it was quite interesting. I think, do you remember the Will Nightingale testimony he came back for? Kind of thinking, oh, maybe we're going to get him back on a loan or something.
No,
but nice wishful thinking there, my friend.
Yeah, probably was.
Speaking of getting people back on loans. I've been following a few Wickham websites, having obviously replayed them.
He's not coming back.
Who's not coming back? Sal? No, absolutely not.
No.
Tilly.
So I had an interesting chat with a family of Wickham fans. I was introduced to a family of Wickham fans by an Ulster Women fan. I met in hospitality at the Wickham game over Christmas New Year. And they were very friendly and very frank. And they basically said they didn't quite understand why the previous manager had signed Tilly. He didn't play him anyway. The previous manager was bummed out relatively quickly. This is Mike Dodds. And was replaced as manager. And his replacement as manager has barely given Tilly any kind of opportunity whatsoever. Today I saw, and it was a very bad cut and paste job on social media, someone basically had put on to social media that we had signed Tilly as an opponent transfer. Now, this was all clearly, in this case, totally wishful thinking on behalf of this Wickham fan, Wickham DJ on X, if anyone wants to look him up, because they clearly don't rate him and don't fancy him already. And are prepared and clearly have the resources to be able to write off that type of investment. They've already sold somebody they bought in the summer back to Scandinavia in this transfer window. So they clearly are cutting their losses with certain people relatively quickly if they think it's not necessarily a wise move to do. But the question is, do we really want him back? Positions we need, is Tilly playing wide right or wide left really the best option?
That's the thing. It's like Seddon. Or Tilly.
Well, I think it would be.
I think it would be
a Simwe or Tilly. So, it depends whether a Simwe goes back.
We're getting no one in this window. Nothing is happening.
Is that your prediction? No one in the window.
Yeah.
Because we're halfway through and we've got no one so far.
I don't think we're getting anyone. It's like, I don't think we can afford them. I don't think they're out there. I don't think we're getting anyone.
Well, the other little rumour that was around, obviously, is that Matt's favourite player, who he now has left, and for some reason I missed this on social media for a whole 24 hours before Orsi's triumphant departure. The little thing floating around was that we didn't actively go out to sell him, and Crawley contacted us.
Yeah,
I've seen that. I think a little bit of skepticism. I mean, I think what would have happened is his agent has touted him around, and the thing with the agents at this level is that they are all, there's a lot of them that they can be an agent of a club and an agent of a player. And I suspect this agent has just linked the two. And that's what's happened. And I think the club probably thought, oh my God, we're getting some cash for him. That's brilliant.
I mean, yeah. I'd be interested to know how much money.
Probably a portion of chips.
Portion of chips and a bag of pork scratchings. I mean, that'll do, won't it?
Yeah. I mean,
maybe a bottle.
You know what? It's a weird thing. I always think it's a weird thing because I genuinely, at a point, I wanted him to prove me wrong. I really did, but it just didn't work. And then, where is he in the pecking order in terms of strikers? You know, now he was so far down. I mean, for him, it's the ideal move. I was looking, where Crawley are. They're near the bottom. And he probably could do a job with them. He probably fits into their style. He's
ex-Crawley.
He's a Crawley guy, isn't he? Really?
That's why he had his one successful season. Yeah.
So he's going to be a hero down there. So it's going to be very easy for him to fit back into it and to. I think he wanted that sort of cult status. So I think he'll do well.
It's a bit like Pickett, in my opinion.
Yeah.
What, someone else that the club shouldn't have signed a second time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have, so to speak.
That's exactly what I think.
I mean, that's Crawley's problem now, isn't it, obviously?
Yeah. But I mean,
they've signed him permanently as well. So.
Yeah. 2 year thing. So regardless of whether, of how much money that we brought in, there's going to be a few grand in there, it's off the wage bill, which is as important
as
anything
else.
I don't think we're doing any business. I don't think we're doing any business, actually. I think,
as in, you think we had to get, we took the money and therefore we need the money. We're not going to do any business.
I don't think Cope or Thorpe are doing any business in terms of getting people in. I think they're thinking about who's out there on loan, how they can bring them back to the first team later. I don't think we're looking for players. I don't think we are looking to sell players. I think we've decided this window, we can't afford to, or in any capacity, do that kind of business. I think we're just thinking about academy. We're thinking about players that could come through. I think people who have left will be completely independent. People that come in, well, I don't think that's going to happen.
Adam, I disagree with you. And I think, part of my, I wouldn't be surprised if we get some people in, and my thought would be, because Mark, how many loan players have we got?
I think a bit Premier League loan, yeah.
Well, no one has any idea what's going on with Brodie Hughes, but theoretically he's still a loan player, right?
Yeah, and then Semway.
They're not going to do any business with Brodie Hughes. He's just going to go or stay around.
Brodie Hughes might go back or he might stick around.
They're not doing anything about it. They're not doing any business, I'm saying.
But the truth is that we might get, we've got three possible loans we can make. So we can loan up to five players. So it wouldn't surprise me if we get, Tilly, I think, wouldn't be a bad loan. Got to remember, we're slagging him now. Yeah, he didn't sign for us in the summer, and that was frustrating. Because I think most of us were thinking that it was going to be.
It'd be hard for Tilly to come back on loan.
But you've got to bear in mind, it's
too much like tail between your legs. If he comes back, he has to come back permanent. I think though, I don't think Tilly will come back. Where I think it is, it's the loan market, Matt. I agree with you. I think that's probably where it is. There might be another sort of a Matt Stevens somewhere that Craig Cope might be identifying in the lower leagues. That's the only other thing. So a kind of hungry young player that might potentially, but I'm sceptical about that. I think it's much more likely to be a loan. Yeah. The other thing is, is remember that there's that squad of like players without contracts where we got Hutchinson and we got Brown from, and those two were pretty good recruitments. So maybe Cope's looking at that as well.
Completely from left field. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
what
yeah.
I find interesting is I'm looking at the program from Exeter, obviously, which is just around Christmas. We've got 8 individual players who have made more than 20 starts up to now, up to New Year, basically in the first half of the season, including obviously cup games. Now that includes Asenway. You know, there's Bishop Asenway, Seddon, Reeves, Johnson, Smith, Lewis, and Oggs. And obviously there's a few injuries that have been knocking around, which is why, you know, Stevens has only started at 11, I think. Brown's only started 17. Boogle's only started 17 as well.
Yeah. I mean, once you add into what you just said, you add Bugle, Stevens, you know, in, then you've got your 11, haven't you?
I think what's also interesting, I mean, I know he's forgotten, but he's been out injured for 8. McCoy Splatt has been, and I think there was something out recently saying it was a long-term injury. So I don't know whether we'll see him again this season. But there were moments, I think, in, you know, pre-season early on, I think yeah. he was that player who was going to come in and support, you know, Smith and Reeves. He was going to be that was the reason we got him in.
And we talked about the fact that Coach Jennings is not going back and he's staying at Sutton.
Yeah.
And the logic behind that, and also the fact that surely that's only happening because we're confident that we have the right caliber of players in the central midfield, which, let's face it, with regards to Maycock and Smith and Reeves, is in desperate need of refreshing.
Yep.
He says
so it needs somewhere. And McCoy Splatt's not going to be around for all. So, Adam, my sense is you say that, but my sense is that we will be getting.
Let's see what happens.
I think that they're racing around to try and find a centre midfield. That would be my sense, and I would not. And I know now you don't think so, but it would not surprise me to have Tilly back on loan with the idea that it becoming a permanent move in the summer.
What I find interesting is if we're going to carry on with this 4-3-4-2-1, which would give Nkeng license and give Jackson therefore license to be able to start him, play him for an hour, and then possibly bring Hackford into a similar role. Actually, what that means, that places even more burden on Omar or somebody else to be a target man. We've tried Brown as a target man. We've tried Nkeng in different options. He certainly isn't a wingback, is he? We tried Hackford as a target man under 2. That didn't necessarily work either. Being able to play a formation that gives freedom the likes of Brown and Nkeng and Hackford to get on the ball and get people off their seat, which is exciting in terms of home games, especially based on the level of lack of goals we've scored at home this season. To me, I'd applaud. But you can only do that if you've got somebody up front who is going to be able to actually selflessly hold the ball up and bring these guys into play, which if you look at the highlights, the goals we scored against West Ham, I know it was their kids, but Omar did that brilliantly.
I was going to say there's only one player who's going to do that. It's Omar, flipping neck, obviously.
But you can't rely on one individual.
This is where I think we've talked about this. I almost see that as a little bit of a waste of Omar. But this is where we talked about previously about having that old-fashioned target man. Or, you know, Matt's right in a way from when we talked about it before. It's an Akinfenwa, right? Somebody you hit the ball and it just sticks and he just flicks it off. Getting the ball off Akinfenwa was a bloody nightmare. Getting the, you know, Akinfenwa running off the things, obviously never going to happen. But like, you know, that sort of a player who just can lay it off, because that's talent you've got coming through. When you talked about Brown, Nkeng, Hackford playing off a person who can hold the ball up and win it up front, we've got the players that can do that. We just haven't got that one person who's really good at it. Omar's all right at it, but I don't think he's the perfect person to play in that. I think Omar is a player that I would probably want to play off somebody rather than being that target man. Because I think that's what we're missing.
But I like
when we look at what we're doing going forward.
Omar's 29, right? Like, he's got to move into that kind of role of just like holding the ball up, doing like, I don't, yeah, I think that's where he's going to go. I don't think we're misusing him. I think that's where he's going to go.
I just adore Adam's adulation of Omar. It's one of those things. Who did I see it before with? There was someone else who you really loved. Oh, that's right. Nesta. Do you remember?
Yeah.
You love Nesta Guinness-Walker.
I did. I thought he was awesome.
Yeah. You have these little crushes. I love it. I love it.
Talking of little crushes people have, just noticing something else just popped up on social media.
Oh, God.
Crystal Palace goalkeeper Owen Goodman, who was unceremoniously dumped by Huddersfield a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
He's undergoing a medical at Barnsley and is set to seal his loan move to Oakwell in the next 24 hours, which means in a couple of weeks' time, we've got Barnsley away, I think, on the 24th of January.
14th of Feb, Valentine's Day.
There you go, 14th of Feb, I couldn't
remember. I might even go.
You might even go, that's right. Yeah, you're gonna risk your own marriage by going to South Yorkshire on Valentine's. Interesting, exactly. There were a lot of these loans. The article the Doncaster fans written for Saturday's programme, he talks about the fact that they already in the transfer window have had four loans recalled. They've allowed two players to go out on loan. They've allowed their reserve goalkeeper to go out on a permanent transfer. And they've signed a couple of people in the on loan themselves, which is a big turnover in squad. And that surely is actually going to take a little bit of time for any team, whoever they are, to be able to actually bet in.
I hate that.
Who just thinks...
Really hate that.
That Mike Lewis has just done the typical Mike Lewis thing, which is really bad. There was one of Matt's plays, versions of it, right? There was two people and they were the football gods.
Yeah.
And what was the most important thing on the ground?
Mr. Fran and Mr. Charles.
Don't upset the gods.
The football gods. It's bad.
Too much time on the flipping X, that's why.
Who were the football gods, Matt? Who were the football gods?
Cohen and Bats. I know this. It's too much there. Yes. They were actually mine gods. I took them from... They were actual mine monkey football gods. So if you look back, if you Google it, that's it. They are apparently the football gods. So those two, or they were at that time when I was writing the play. Other gods might be available. I feel we've got to let you go now, mate. You've got to go off and do your family time.
Yeah, I'm going to be a traitor. So
nice of you to pop in and fit us into your schedule.
I mean, I just saying before we go, because I always know that I promised that I would do this more often, but I just want to say a big thanks to Gary Jordan and Stephen Crabtree, because it's their book on this day that we read from everything. And I must be repeating Mark or me must be repeating ourselves from last year. And also a big thank out to Chris Barlow, who does the music that we use on the podcast taken from the show, A Fans Club. So thank you very much for that. And also, excitingly, I got a message from an old friend of mine who said he's been given the link to the show. And I haven't seen him for ages. And I don't know which one of you must have passed it on, because certainly last year with the listeners.
Because we don't even know who your friend is.
Yeah.
And what I like is we did have a social media message from someone saying that they weren't the Indian listener. So the Indian listener has still not revealed themselves. Yeah. But they were a listener from down in Devon or Cornwall, I believe. So shout out to whoever they are. My apologies for not remembering who they were.
I'm doing a shout out to Jake Strickland, who contacted me. Hope you enjoy the show, my friend.
I think we've got to definitely post on it, find out who will fess up to being our most exotic listener. So we know the Google stats, but let's have an actual real name. I'd be really intrigued.
How are
you
defining exotic? Change. By the type of website?
Also, where they live. The most far-flung rather than exotic. Okay,
furthest away.
I'm excited to see who our most exotic listener is.
Yeah.
For both that as well. Okay. Either most far-flung or most exotic.
Yes, I think the furthest away is probably what Niall actually means. Who knows what is exotic?
The global south. The global south. Right, that's where I'm at. I'm after the global south. People who live north of the river, you're just the north. So anybody lives south of the river, and how south of the river do you live? That's what I'm interested about.
Now, we did tease last week that we'd have a special guest this week. We've had to push them back. So I just want to make anyone who's listening, if there is anyone, understand that we do have special guests coming, but we had to make some adjustments.
Okay, excellent. All right, well, I think
just to throw a little bit of football chat in before we close. Yeah. Our next three games, I'm not going to in any way tempt any football gods, but our next three games look relatively important.
No, you are. You're doing it now. You're totally doing it.
Just look at who we're playing. We're playing Doncaster, who are second bottom.
But you've just said they're important. Thanks. You're tempting things there.
That's not tempting anyone. Yes, I'm not saying we're going to win them, or we're going to thrash the team playing.
Mark, what's the point? I think though, those sides are literally just 2 points behind us. So I don't think it's anything to do with where they are in the league. I think it's
not quite, my friend. We're playing Doncaster, who are 8 points behind us.
Right.
We are playing Rotherham, who are 7 points behind us and have just lost six games in a row.
But this is what we don't want to know.
And we're playing Port Vale, who are 13 points behind us.
This is the stuff we don't want to know. We just need to win every game.
When was the last league game we won at home? The last league game we won at home
Wickham
was in September.
Yeah.
Right. So, what brilliant form we are. If I was any of these other clubs, I'd be like, ooh, who we're playing? They haven't won at home since September.
We just need to win every game. I don't care who we're playing at this point now. We just need to win every game. We are otherwise in trouble.
If we win every game, then we're challenging for the championship.
Exactly.
Let's do that.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway.
All right, guys. Thank you, Mark. Thanks for stepping in.
Always a pleasure, mate. Turn up on time next time.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I was a whole 3 minutes late. But I think we're finishing. We've overstretched it now. You've got to run off and become a traitor. And thank you, Dr. Adam Proctor. See you guys and see you all soon. See you guys on Saturday.
See you Saturday.
We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
Standing here since many years ago, you've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth.